Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the angels in chorus, sang as they welcomed His birth.
Reading from Isaiah, from God's Holy Word, chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore hath he forsaken the people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Thy land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasure. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So far we read God's holy word. Let's give thanks for it. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come through him who is the new and living way, the one who has paid the price for our redemption on the cross, and there made the atonement that we can have reconciliation with thee. And we pray, Father, for thy Spirit to work in our hearts, in the hearts of the church, that it might be revived in all of these things, that we might have that true and needed love to thee, if we have left it, that we might return, that we might come to thee in thankfulness and praise and humbleness and prayer especially. Teach us to pray according to thy will. Teach us to pray that thy name might be hallowed and thy kingdom might come, thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. In each one of our individual lives, in the lives of our church, the lives of our families, and also the lives of others round about us. We pray for those that are in the church. We pray for those that have left the church, that thou would bring them back if it could be thy will, that there might be an adding to the church again instead of a leaving it. And we pray that especially for the young people. We pray particularly for the young that are in troubled homes and where they are themselves troubled, and it is spoken of as a problem of mental health. We know, Father, that first of all, it is a spiritual problem, and only can we have for an answer the spiritual blessing. And we pray for that, that thou wilt once again call us with thy word and spirit because of Christ, that thou would give us that call that cannot be resisted to repentance, to faith, to obedience, that we may have another great awakening to truth in doctrine and life as we have had in the past. We pray, Father, for these blessings first. Thou hast said that if we seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, all these things will be added. We also give thanks for the many things that we have in nature and the temple blessings that others do not have. And we pray, Father, for them that are in suffering, those that are war-torn lands, those that are persecuted, those that are losing loved ones by the hand of murderers, those that are homeless and flood, fire, wind, all these calamities that are there, both in our nation and others. We pray for thy mercy on them and blessing on the ways that can give them help. We pray above all that thou would give them to know the need of seeking first thy kingdom, that they have here no abiding city and must look for the one of whom thou art the builder and the maker. We pray also for the needs of the broken homes, that thou wilt heal them, they might be recognized, what it will do in our nation and what it is doing, what it will do for the younger generation. We pray, Father, for thy blessing also to those that are in sickness and injury. Pray that thou would give healing to many, give them faith to look to thee through Christ, thou who art the great physician, thou who hast healed in the past and can heal in the present. And we pray in thy name that it might be done. We pray, Father, for those also that will be left in their illness, that thou would give them the grace to bear under it and to learn through it the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. We pray for our leaders. We pray that thou put thy fear in their hearts once again, and us as a people as well. We are the ones who have elected leaders that have turned away from thee and are not in for the good of our country. We pray that there might again be the church that will be a salt and a light to us as a people, to our leaders, and to everyone, homes, every person needing that light, the ones that can be only the salt and the light. We pray, Father, all these things, and give thanks through Christ. Amen. Looking once again at these words from Isaiah, words that we can say are for the present, they speak of the past, they speak of the near future, and they speak of the distant future. We saw Isaiah beginning to speak to Israel and Judah as they were at that present time under the four kings that are mentioned during his time of prophecy. They were called a sinful nation, even called rulers of Sodom and people of Gomorrah. That's how they were compared. This should have been what a difference it was to the people that were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those, especially Abraham, who feared God and who believed in him, who justified the ungodly, knowing he was that and knowing that he could have the blessing that could only come because of Christ, who was promised and who would come. We saw last week before, somewhat of the future, especially the more distant future. We read in the second verse of this second chapter, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." Spoken of 2,700 years ago, almost 2,800 years ago, but it has not yet happened. It is for the future ahead. It is for, as we read here, the last days. These words of Isaiah were written, what we could probably call, 700 years before the beginning of the last days. Paul said, God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. That was 1,900 years ago, and this was 760 years before that. This was before the beginning of the last days, and now we are nearer to the last of the last days. But that which is promised here has not yet been fulfilled. As I mentioned last week, it will be fulfilled in the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And as I quoted from one person, a pastor of the past, lived in the year 1600, he knew it was going to happen. And he said, "We can pray in faith because it will come." That blessing spoken of here will come. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." It tells us of the blessing where, and it tells us the blessing to whom it will be a blessing. All nations shall flow unto it. It will be in Zion, the third verse, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." What is Jerusalem? It's called by the Old Testament prophet, the Psalms, and by Christ himself, the city of the great king. Christ told us not to swear by Jerusalem because it was the city of the great king. And in that city of the great king, the word of the Lord is going to come, and come out of it to all nations. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know it will come, and it will come in the last days. We may believe it will come in days before the coming of Christ. Let's pray for it. Certainly, we need to be in unity concerning it, because God said to Abraham, "I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee." So don't be in the place that you want to put the people down to which God has promised what will come in blessing to them and blessing through them in the last days. But now going on, Isaiah is speaking of the present, not of the future, as he did in the first verses. Verse 5, "O house of Jacob," the descendants of Jacob he's speaking to, "come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." What an exhortation. What a blessing if we can do it. What a terrible thing if we don't. What is the opposite of it? Darkness. "Let us walk in the light of the Lord." How we should do that. I think of the times that I did it and what blessing it was when God gave light, and particularly through his Son, who could say rightly, "I am the light of the world." We can see that both in a way of blessing and also in a way of sadness. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, of Christ, "The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we read in the fourth verse, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then the sad thing, verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We read also about John the Baptist. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Later, when they asked who he was, he said he was not the Messiah. He was came to be a witness of him, make a straight way for the Lord. That was the designation of John. Isaiah talked about it in Isaiah 40. Here, it's being repeated again, written by John the Apostle. But we read that Christ was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Already 700 years before that, Isaiah was saying, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the Son of God. There's two groups especially that deny that. Don't believe it today. Sadly, for most of Israel, they don't believe it. They don't believe the light that did come is the Son of God, and that he was here on earth, lived, died, rose again, and ascended back to heaven. Those people here, 700 years before that happened, were told to walk in the light of the Lord. Christ alone is the light. Without him, we are in darkness. What a terrible thing to be in that darkness. As Christ himself said, not only that he was the light, but he said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Isaiah could say this, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Sadly, there would be only, as we could read in the first chapter, a very small remnant that would do that. A small remnant, Isaiah described and said, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we had been as Sodom and should have been made like unto Gomorrah. But a remnant did believe. Abraham was a believer. He knew the light was going to come. Lord Jesus said, Abram saw my day and was glad. God said to Abram, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That is Christ. That is the one that Isaiah spoke of very plainly in many places. A little bit later, we can read, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. In the 7th chapter, we can read in the 9th chapter, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Sometimes it was only to a remnant, many times it was to the few. But, as we read here, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That is Christ himself. Without him, it's death and darkness. The Lord Jesus said, while here on earth, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And here Isaiah is calling the people, O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We can take exactly the same message today. Not alone the house of Jacob. If we think of that as the descendants of Jacob, the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes that later split off from the 2 tribes, and the 2 tribes, all those were descendants of Jacob. Here, the 2 tribes are the ones that, in the main, Isaiah was a prophet for. He was a prophet for the house of Judah, and not the 10 tribes, even though he spoke of them at different times. both the 10 tribes and the 2. But here he says, O house of Jacob, if we are believers, we will be in the house of Jacob. Paul says of the gospel, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the Gentiles. We can say these words to each other today. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. How much different that would be if we would do that. Where are we today? As a church, as a nation, as families, as individuals. We are, in the main, in the dark. God gives us the reason for it by the pen of Paul. He declares God is the creator, and he tells us creation is so plain that we are without excuse in recognizing it by the hand of God. We read in Romans chapter 1, because that which be made known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The whole world can know that by creation, can know the power of God. What a power there is in the way of nature. The thunder, the lightning, the wind, the fire. Now the cyclones that have gone off of destruction in California and other ways, the earthquakes, all of God's creation. But we have to think of what we think of most. The sunshine and the rain, the seasons, seed time and harvest. They have come for these 6,000 plus years since God created the world. Every spring, there's been seed time. Every fall, there's been harvest. And God's day and night will not cease. But if we don't see it, it says, because that when they knew God, yes, we can know there is a God in creation. It says, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's where we are today. We can go almost everywhere. You can go to the schools for the children. You can go to the seminaries. You can go to many of the churches, and they will tell you about evolution. They will not give you the message of creation as we can see it in nature itself. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament is handiwork. That's there. And as Paul says here, without excuse. But in spite of all that, they glorified him not as God, the creator. They became foolish in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's where we are. And we have one hope only. Christ, the creator, who is also the Redeemer, who said before he died, without me you can do nothing. Who also said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you can bring forth much fruit. Here Isaiah is saying, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of his Son. As Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1, by whom he created the worlds and upholds it by the word of his power. That's all a fact. Let me say it again. It's a fact. Creation itself shows it, proves it. All other things are theories that speak against it. People say science has proved it. Science should be based on facts only. That's what science should do. And that's what true science will do. Paul speaks of science so-called, and that's what we have today. People say, well, science proved evolution. They say it foolishly, emptily, because it did not prove anything. It remains a theory, a lie of men. That's all. And it's a very large thing, because if we don't believe the first part of the Bible, call it a myth, how can we believe the rest? Christ said, if you don't believe Moses, you don't believe in me. And if we don't believe Moses' words concerning creation in Genesis 1 and 2, then we're not believing in the Lord Jesus, of whom Paul says, the Creator, the Son of God, by whom he made the worlds. The world in which you live was made by Christ. He is the light. And if you don't believe that, you are in the dark. And I am in the dark if I don't believe it. And that's where we are, plainly stated. and we acted. We act out the darkness because of what we do. We're choosing evil things in our nation. We're choosing evil things, what we do as a city, as a nation. We vote for wrong things. We vote for death instead of life, which is voting for darkness and the way of darkness. Here we have the call, and we can take this same call because we can preach from the Scripture. This part of Scripture, as Paul did and Apollos did, showing from the Scripture, Christ was the Son of God. Isaiah is calling us to believe in the Son of God and what he is doing. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of his Son, the Lord Jesus. As the song says, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, if we come to believe on him as we should, and we must. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believing the gospel of Christ. The gospel is Christ dying according to the Scripture, buried, rose again according to the Scripture. We read from Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin shall conceive. We read from Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called Wonderful, and the other names. And if we go on further to Isaiah, we will read of his suffering and his death, but also the victory. The end of that chapter of Isaiah 53 is, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he is calling us to walk in the light. If we do that, Christ will see the travail of his soul. He's travailing for us. He died in the place of sinners. He rose again for our justification. And he's on the right hand of God, making intercession. Travailing. He's probably travailing in heaven, much as he did on earth. When he came to Jerusalem in what was called Palm Sunday, he wept over Jerusalem and said, thou dost not know the time of thy visitation. They did not know the way of the light. And the Lord Jesus speaks so often of himself as the light. I am the light of the world. In John chapter 12, we read his exhortation to us. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. Oh, let's listen to Isaiah speaking today. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. How, what a difference it would be in our individual lives. What a different life I would have had if I would have always walked in the light of the Lord. I have to think of those dark places without Christ, when I didn't listen to his voice. I can give thanks when he comes and rebuke and chastening and showing us the terribleness of it, and make us say with David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. How we need to do that today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel. Praise the Lord.